This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to yet another edition of the Kona Edge. It's good to have you with us, and we're joined by a returning guest, Chicago, Illinois. We go to now, Adam Zucco. Adam, welcome back. Nice to touch base.
No worries. I'm happy to be back.
Adam, let's talk about your run. You mentioned to me that out of the three disciplines, the run's probably the weakest of the three, although you're pretty solid, I must say, if you look at your times. I hate to say it, but I mean, whether you like it or not, triathlon is a running sport.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm reminded of that all the time by my friends who I tend to out bike and then they chase me down on the run.
It's the worst feeling, isn't it?
Yes, for sure. And one of my good friends here, his name started with an I, and we're in the same age group. So I was able to outswim and bike him, and then I would just do the best I could to run as far down the course as I could before he'd catch me. And then I'd know I have 4 minutes to try to not give up, you know.
That's superb. Adam, let's talk about your run performance and things that you've done over your career to get better. Can you pin it down to one thing? If you had to say one thing that's given you the biggest gains on the run, what would it be?
No, I couldn't pin it to one, but I could pin it to two, if you allow me to do two.
Yeah, please do.
The biggest advance that I think I made acutely, so very quickly, was I focused on cadence. And that was very important to me, because what I was able to do was I had a 10-mile course that I would go run. I would realize that my cadence was very low. And so I decided, okay, my cadence should be – so I was running at like 86 steps per minute. I'm like, I'm going to go see if I can run this course at 90 or above, which I would do in some of my fast running, but not all the time. So I just said to myself, I'm not going to worry about how fast I'm running. I'm just going to worry about how quickly I'm moving my feet. And when you think about it, you can move your feet fast up and down and standing in place. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a huge effort, right? Just a neuromuscular thing. And so I went out on this course that I had just ran 7-minute pace, say, a few days before. And I went out on this course, like, I'm just going to only look at the cadence on my Garmin. And I held that cadence. And when I flipped it over, I realized I had ran 6:15 pace. So like a 40-second drop. As soon as I realized I was running that fast, I got tired. And that made me think, wow, there's an emotional investment in what you think you should be feeling based on the results that you're getting. So the big breakthrough for my running on half Ironman racing, especially, and to a large extent Ironman racing, it was being able to focus on things that I was not emotionally tied to. So when I come off the bike and I have my Garmin set, I literally just see my cadence. And I tell myself, based on training, I know if I can keep my cadence around this, I can trust that it's going to be within a certain aspect of pace. But I can concentrate on cadence and not be emotionally involved in that. Versus if I come off the bike and I see I'm too fast or I'm too slow or whatever, then I'm going to be, I'm off the pace or I need to slow down or whatever, you know. And so for me, that's been huge. My fastest and most consistent runs have always been cadence-based, and then I combine that with the second thing, which actually got from a mentor of mine and fellow coach Jim Vance, and, you know, he's got this thing, this run that he calls an envelope run that I definitely use all the time, and it's about pushing the edge of discomfort, like, so you stay comfortable, but you push right to that edge, right where you were going to push the envelope and kind of get into that uncomfortable range, but you don't go over, you stay comfortable and you stay controlled. And then you find ways to go faster with technique, such as cadence or forward lean or, you know, relaxing your jaw. Like, you know, if you find if your jaw's tight, your body's tight, you know, you find these things when you try to look at ways that you're doing things that are not effort-based, that are more mechanical-based to go fast. And so that's now how I race most of my races. And I try to just go for a run relative to the distance I have left with all my races. And I'll use things like cadence and the envelope style of running. There's obviously lots that go into the run training, but when it comes time for race day, those are the two things that have made the biggest impact on my performance.
That's pretty interesting. What would you say is the biggest mistake you see sort of age groupers making in their sort of running careers?
I would say running too fast, too often. I think that they're kind of, not only in the race, but also in training. It's interesting. I used to own a metabolic cart where we could test athletes' fuel efficiency. which is huge for Ironman. You know, if you have stomach problems or if you run out, if you bonk, it all comes down to fueling. And, you know, without getting too specific, within two heart rates, you could change the amount of fat you're burning by 20-30%, which is enormous, right? So often athletes will be like, I'm going to run just a little bit faster than the pace or the heart rate I should be running at that my coach has told me to run at so that I can go run with my friends. And that's good, but then that's not teaching your body to get stronger and be able to run faster at the right zone and still use the right fuels to do that. Not only does it take away from that ability to be economical with those fuels, but it causes more muscle fibers to get involved, which causes more fatigue and more breakdown. And then that doesn't allow them to run fast enough for some of their fast pace. So they end up kind of walking around with this chronic fatigue type thing that goes on. And so they don't really have any breakthroughs.
It's so interesting you talk about that chronic fatigue, because that's one thing I pick up so often as well, that yes, you're going to feel tired when you're training for an Ironman, but, gee, sometimes right. I just see athletes absolutely flogging themselves over and over and over, and they wonder why they don't get any gains.
Yeah, that's a big trust thing. And, I would say I'm casual friends with Luke McKenzie, but I'm friends with him that are very good friends. And I say this honoring him, I can tell you that when he had his breakthrough race, if you look back, he had a terrible Vegas 70.3, which was a month out. And I know that he trusted to not overthink that performance and relax and rest and do extra rest, where I think a lot of athletes, maybe even myself included, would have emotionally gone back into the, man, I have so much work to do with not a lot of time. And so I think that was extremely mature of him, and really gutsy at the same time, to be able to not go do more work. And I'm definitely not saying that you don't have to do work to do Ironman, right? But you just have to be able to recognize, and sometimes it's not the best call, you know, and to go back and just kind of regroup.
Absolutely. Adam Zucco, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kona Edge. Once again, much appreciated. Thanks for your time. If you want to find out more about you, I know you're pretty active on the website, trainingbible.com. They can reach out if they're looking for a coach. You're more than willing to help out as well, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. It sounds good. You got tons of good ones.
Cool stuff. We'll put the links in the show notes to these episodes as well. Thank you so much for your time. We look forward to catching up again soon.
No, I'm honored that you asked me. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Run like the wind. Our next free online running seminar is happening soon. Sign up now on the KonaEdge.com/running seminar.